You know, a lot of the abusers come from supportive families, you know, and the reason they do, I meditated over many years, is because they had a fallback. They always had something to fall back, whether they got in trouble with the law or whatever. They had always had somebody to rescue them and save them. And their mama, their daddy, their brother, their sister, whoever, they always had a fallback. But those of us, and I've talked to some sisters in Christ, and I've talked to some brothers in Christ, and I've talked to people in general that had to rise up without any support, you know? And we had to work two jobs. We had to work our way through college, you know? It's pretty sad when somebody says, oh, you went to college, you're privileged. No, I worked my way through college and nobody helped me. And I drove a 66 Mustang, and when it broke down, I got my screwdriver out and my channel locks and I fixed it myself. And I went to the junkyard to get parts. My point is, a lot of these people think because you had to struggle and it made you strong and wise and vigilant, that you had it made, that was given to you. No, it wasn't given to me. I had to struggle. I had to fight. And because my whole life I had to fight, it's almost when I don't have to fight, it's almost like something's wrong, you know? And then when I took a chill for about a year, then all the abusers tried to show back up, you know? When I took a chill pill for a year, took a year off, all the abusers tried to show back up. I don't know what that's about, how they knew. I'm over here enjoying the fruits of my labor, just relaxing and taking it easy, and the abusers try to show back up in my world. It ain't gonna happen. I'll put it to you that way. It ain't gonna happen. And one of the ways I got ahead of the game is for about 2 or 3 years, I worked third shift Uber, doing the bar scene. About 3 years Uber, and you make more money at night. But you have to put up with abuse of drunkards. The drunkards are just abusive, selfish. And the only reason they're out going and getting drunk, because somebody's rescuing them. They always have somebody to rescue them. These kind of people, they're not abusers on their own. They've got some kind of support system that they can run to and cry and get support. Hey, I need $1,000. I need $20. I need $50. They're the abusers, the ones who have a support system. Because I've talked to some people, and the ones who had it the roughest are usually the spirit-filled people. The ones who had it the toughest, the roughest, are usually the spirit-filled, born-again people, because they've had to struggle really hard to get away from all that junk, you know? And then they saw how bad it was, and they said, I don't want to be like that person. Even though the system's a copy machine, because of the Holy Spirit in them, they escape. Had this 50-year-old dude with his windows cracked, 90-degree weather, and playing his music real loud. He's like 55 years old, it looked like, acting like he's 18, you know. When you got somebody 55, 60, acting like they're 18, you know something's wrong with them. You know something's up, something's wrong with them. And the chance of them changing and becoming a respectable, respect your neighbor, driving normal. I mean, come on. There comes a point where you start to actually drive like a human being. It's really wild how you look at life and you see patterns, and you see these people who got all this pride and ego, and it's only because their mama or their daddy allowed them to get there. And if they maybe they did work hard, but they would if if they didn't have the pride and the ego, that'd be a different story. But they always want to be seen. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. It's all about comparing themselves with other people. And they have no idea what's going on in other people. Mental problems, emotional problems, physical problems, health issues. And if they only knew the whole picture, they would be humbled. But to find humble people that have money, it's very rare. It's very rare. They are out there. And it's usually the ones that worked real hard to get there and struggled and sacrificed, you know. But then you see some people who are just poor mouthing all the time, and you can't deal with those people because they're always blaming somebody else instead of them getting up and doing something. You know, a lot of times they made their own struggle. They made their own bed and they got to lay in it. They made their own bed and they got to lie in it. Lay in it, lie in it. They had a perfect setup, but it's all about drinking and drugging. And one man right after that, some woman chases one man after the other. She's got three or four baby daddies and she's struggling and blame everybody else. But if she would have just stayed with one man, got married, and they could have built a life together, but she wanted to run the streets, you know. She wanted to run the streets thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. Look, the grass is greener. Yeah, whatever. We'll see. We'll see how that works out. I'll check back with you in 6 months, see where you're at. I'll check back in a year and see how green the grass is. Blood, sweat, and tears humble you. If a man don't work, he don't eat, right? That pride and that ego. And there's also people out there with false humility and false, what's the word I'm looking for? They got false humility and just like want to be seen as they're like humble or something, you know. It's really sad. Both extremes are sad. And I saw a title of a video recently. It said, narcissism is the end days, end time prophecy. And I haven't watched the video. I don't know if I'll ever see it again. I might have saved it into the watch later playlist. But I believe that's true because the Bible talks about in the last days, men will be lovers of self, right? And so the narcissism in the last days is all about self. The reason people don't want to get married and be in a commitment is because it's self. They're going to have to put somebody else up above themselves. They might even love them, or say they do, or think they do, but they don't even love God or love themselves to do right. If they don't love God, how can they love the other person? If they don't love the Bible, the Word of God, the truth, if they don't love the truth, how can they love themselves or anybody else? But instead of getting married and submitting, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, wives submit. And that don't mean that you're just a doormat either way. The man's not a doormat, the woman's not a doormat. Well, you're supposed to love me even as crazy as I act. No, we're gonna call you out on your craziness. And if you don't wanna get it right, we'll go get a third party to show you. Because you can't hear me because you're too emotionally upside down. So let's go get a third party. Maybe they can wake you up to what you're saying and doing. I used to not believe in counselors or mediators and all that, but I do now, because I know for a fact when two people are talking, sometimes because of emotions, they can't hear the other person. They're projecting their stuff on the other person. And so a third party is not to attack anybody, but is to wake up both sides to say the way you're saying this is not healthy. Now the sad part is you might get the wrong kind of mediator and they say, well, y'all just need to get a divorce. Wrong. Y'all need to talk it out with a mediator who's going to say stay married and fix it. Now if somebody confesses in the counseling session that somebody cheated, yeah, that's a different story. But a mediator should happen in the home, which is what? The Bible and the Holy Spirit. But because somebody thinks they know something, no more, you know, if there's a Jezebel spirit, the man's opening up the scripture and says, well, you know, this is the problem. I'm looking at this thing logically, and here's the problem. Yeah, but you blah, 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 blah. And runs out the back door screaming, then I guess you need a mediator, right? But by the time you get to that point, they don't want a mediator because they want to be right. They don't want to change. Accountability is going to save your life, but people don't want it. And it's going to filter down to their children and their children and their children, and it's just going to keep recycling. Yeah, you can live like it's Disney World down here, but God uses authority to correct you. Most of the time, people who don't want correction, they think they're gods, they think they've already arrived, and they think that they're saved. But a humble person, a born-again humble person, is going to listen to any kind of healthy advice or rebuke. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and patience. If a person never takes rebuke, they think they've arrived. They've already arrived. Is anybody picking up what I'm dropping off? Has anybody else observed this and stuff in life?